Welcome to the first episode of The Grelli. I am your host, Jerry Negrelli, coincidentally. So for those of you that listen to the Prodcast, which was the weekly podcast I put out for about 3 years from 2014 to 2017, this will be something similar. When I first started that show, I remember Gary remarked, like, you know, what is it you're doing exactly? You're just DJing over the jingles? Oh, sounds cool. And so the Prodcast was a little bit of that. And so I want to try to keep some of that spirit. But this really is going to be a little bit more, as the name implies, stuff that I want to talk about or stuff that I'm focused on at the time. So the thing I loved about the Prodcast was that every week, because of the power of the littles and the folks that write these songs, there was so much great content to pull from, to share with you and kind of curate. Here's what's going on Tony's show this week. Here's what's going on in the world of the jingles. And to be able to present that to you was so much fun and such a treat to kind of get that that experience. And so I do want to continue to have some of that. And a lot will depend on, you know, what content is available that week. But this will be a little bit more focused on what I'm doing in terms of working on the website and topics that might be important to me. I mean, to my wonderful surprise, some of the most positive feedback I've gotten in the last few years has been on some of the personal stories I've told, whether it be my crazy father-in-law and some of those antics or whatever else. So I imagine that with a show like this, that we'll open that up as well, that there'll be time for Jerry's story time and the separate but ignorable, as we affectionately refer to that, as some of my hate listeners, the folks that listen to me just to send me shitty messages, as they like to say that, you know, can't you just have that stuff in a separate but ignorable podcast? That's what this is. The Grelli is now the separate but ignorable podcast that will happen to have a little bit of jingle time as well. So I hope you enjoy it. You can send me your feedback to mailbag@littlesongs.net. Love to be able to read your messages at the end of this show. Love to be able to have that dialogue and find out what you like, what you don't like. If I start to get into too much obscure crap, like the Schwitz stuff or, you know, whatever else may go. I mean, this is an animal all on its own, not beholden to any previous format of the Prodcast or whatever else. Please let me know what you think about it. I really am only doing this because so many people have asked me for it. I think I winded down the Prodcast right around the time of Desolation of Songe, and a lot of people came to me that summer and said, hey, you've taken a month or two off. Please keep doing it. We love the show. And for a number of reasons, I just have not had the time. So I'm trying right now to rededicate myself to find a little bit of time to do this show. And I think one of the ways that will make it easier is if I'm not doing, you know, five custom Jerry songs every single week, which is what I was doing with the Prodcast. I mean, it would take me at least 3 to 4 hours to build, just to record an episode, not let alone the time it took to kind of plan what do I need this week, the time it took to write the songs, all that stuff. So I'm hoping that this structure and this more open-ended, you know, personal style will allow me just to sit here and talk to you kind of on the spot without a bunch of prep and a bunch of planning and a bunch of writing. And then within the Little Songs Podcast Network, as you may know, there's a second show hosted by Tom Burf, which is going to focus on a lot of his vanity projects. But also, I think that, you know, Tom Burf is a busy guy. He's also in a lot of trouble with the law. So in times where Tom's not available, I may sit in to guest host, and I'll take those opportunities to really do some of the more obscure stuff that I did on the Prodcast, like the Shadow or the Jingly Awards or the things that were just basically me writing sketch comedy and having fun doing it. So I think that the Burf Bag, Tom's little special podcast, will be dedicated to that stuff. And this one will be more just about me and me talking about stuff and playing jingles and then hopefully showcasing the cool things that come out of littlesongs.net over the next year or so. And then we'll see how it goes. So again, feedback, mailbag@littlesongs.net. Let's talk about golf. I mean, over the last couple of years, the amount of golf talk on Tony's show has grown exponentially. And I think part of that has to do with Michael being on the show, and Tony wants to give him a chance to talk about a subject that's near dear to his heart. Also, Steve Sands having a bigger presence and the whole La Cheeserie thing. But also, you know, it's Tony's show, and now that he's not on local radio, he can talk about whatever he wants, and he freaking loves golf. Unfortunately, for folks like me and many others, it's not a topic I want to hear anything about. It's just the worst for me. It's a tough listen. I mean, I listened to Tony now longer than I think I have. I think maybe we're coming up on 10 years or so. I feel like maybe it's only been 4 or 5, but I know it's obviously longer than that because I was already doing jingles in 2013, and I must have had at least 5 years of background to even be able to put all that content in there. But anyway, this next group of songs, I wanted to focus about the golf talk. This is kind of my take on that. And we tried to do a send-up of this at Jingle Fest. I don't know how much it went over, but we put in 4 or 5 videos that Jason Fuse put together of golf talk. And the intent was to just bore the audience to death. And I think we succeeded. I think most folks are just scratching their head like, what the hell are these golf videos for in the middle of the show? But anyway, here are 3 songs. So the first one is called An Ode to Golf Talk. And this is inspired, I think, mostly by Mike from Burke, Virginia, who had some comments on the Facebook Littles group talking about golf. And so many of the alternate take songs that I do, where there's really a sarcastic take or a mean take, have come either from something from the Facebook group or prior to that, Bill the Heck a Cesspool over at thiswebsitestinks.com. There's a message board legacy thing that's been there for quite a long time. And there's always a lot of conversations on there about the show, and most of them are pretty mean-spirited and whatever, because these folks have been listening for a long time, so they're bitter about changes, just like I am about the golf talk. I mean, I'm never faulting anybody on this. I've made several enemies on that board just by commenting on it or referencing it here or in the old podcast. I totally sympathize with where folks are coming from. Some of them don't like the jingles, for instance. Who cares? But anyway, this is like in the voice of a listener such as Mike, who is falling asleep listening to golf. That's the first song. And then the second one is more from the perspective of Tony and Michael, which is the Who Says We Can't Talk Golf? Basically, it's our show. Screw you. We're going to talk about golf all we want, with some sarcastic takes on there. And as a side note, at the Jingle Fest, I bumped into Michael in the hallway back by the green room. And Jason and Fuse and I were talking to him. And I mentioned something about the golf talk. Like, oh, you got to stick around because we're doing a golf bit next. And Michael got a little bit sheepish and said, oh, look, guys, that's not my idea. You got to understand, like, I'm not pushing to talk golf. It's my dad. Like, you know, please stop giving me a hard time. And I think part of that is that Michael, along with Nigel, screened some of these emails and jingles where we're trashing. I think I might even have a lyric in here about Michael being the one that's adding the golf talk. And so he wanted to make it crystal clear for those of you listening now that it's not his idea. He's just kind of going along with it. And, you know, this is just the voice of the listener thinking that he has something to do with it. I don't really care who's responsible for it, but, you know, I will say that the golf stinks. Anyway, so that's the second one. Who Says We Can't Talk Golf, in the voice of Michael and Tony in the show. And then the last one, The Reason, is a much more personal song from my perspective. And it's one of the reasons it's been harder to do the podcast and things over the past year or so is that I just have not, for a variety of reasons, and one of them is the content, frankly, have not had as much time or interest in listening to every single episode. I almost always still listen to The Open. I try to listen to The Mailbag, The Old Gear Radio when there's not a guest. But oftentimes, if the guest is somebody talking about golf or, you know, there's nothing exciting going on, then I skip around, much like a resident of the cesspool who I always kind of scratch my head, like, what's with these guys writing about how they're skipping the show? You know, how could they be so jaded and cynical? And now here I am, you know, doing the same thing. But this last one is a little bit tongue-in-cheek about how I don't listen to the show, but it has, over the last year, been a bit more of a struggle, whereas, you know, previously it was a passion. But now, recording this podcast and trying to spend more time on this stuff, obviously I need to rededicate my life to taking notes and listening attentively to every episode, just to make sure that we get the best possible content with the most possible snark and inside jokes and stupid references we can get. So here are 3 golf songs by me: An Ode to Golf Talk, Who Says We Can't Talk Golf, and The Reason.
Tony does a podcast every morning. Michael says, let's make it boring. He says the chipping's tricky on Kikuya, and to watch the grain on Bermuda. Someone rescue me from fescue. Oh no, it's too late because I'm sleeping. Closing my eyes on the beltway, nearly crying. feel. For the third time in 3 days, it's Steve Sands filling us in on some random pro-am. My friends say skip the golf talk, turn it off, but I can't do that, 'cause I'm I spent 26 years yakking into a mic, covering topics that other people like. Now my son is here and I think it's time this show evolved. Let's call Steve Sands and talk about grass and the way it grows. Why don't I spend a little more time being self-involved? Who says we can't talk golf? Who says we can't talk golf? With dozens of listeners, you can't please them all. We'll break down swings in the flight paths of each ball. Who says we can't talk golf? Who says what I'm allowed to say? I've talked so much golf that now I want to play. Maybe we should all take Friday off. Says we can't talk golf. I used to listen daily. Mr. Tony's show was central to my life. But I haven't heard much lately. Now I spend most of my weeknights with my wife. I'm helping out with housework and the kids. I'm even learning Spanish. I found a reason to read and to give my time to charity.
Planning for Jingle Fest 5 is already underway, and I'm right now scouting out a location. Now, those of you that have been to some of these events know that the plan that I had for the fifth one, and almost the fourth one, was to go to Nashville or somewhere different. I really wanted to break outside of the DC metro area. And since so many folks that come to the Jingle Fest are coming from out of town, many of them were excited about that idea. But one of the things that happened at Jingle Fest 4, Implausibly Alive, was that I would say a quarter of the crowd, this was their very first Jingle Fest. And I want to continue to have that experience available to folks coming next year. And I feel like if we do the destination thing, it's going to become much more inside and niche. And the folks that have supported me for the last 4 or 5 years, obviously I want to help you and I want you to come and everything. But I also want to try to, you know, grow the crowd that comes to this and make sure that we keep it open to folks. I think that some of the more last minute folks that bought tickets on a whim, I think that of the 170 tickets or whatever that we had for the event, I'd say 30 or 40 of them came in the last week, in the last few days leading up to the show. And if we were to do the destination event, that just probably wouldn't happen. So for now, you know, maybe we add a Jingle Fest winter or something where we do a destination thing. But for now, I think that for the summer event, this main end of Tony show season thing that we do, we need to try to keep it local just so that folks that are coming for the first time can come casually. And then those that are coming from out of town that have never been to Chatter or Calvert Woodley or whatever can still have that same experience that was at one time very unique and exciting and different for those of us that maybe now have done it 3 or 4 times. Now, the in terms of the planning for it, we were in Virginia this time for the 4th time. So far we went Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. I'm looking to go back to Maryland. Jam and Java was awesome. They were really nice to us. And the bartender actually texted the owner in the middle of the event and said, these people are amazing. We need to have them back. They are big spenders who are well-behaved, which is funny because the reason that Penn Social didn't want us back is because they said, you don't spend enough money. And on a typical Saturday night, we could make $30,000. So unless you give us $30,000, you can't come back here. And whereas Jam and Java, the booking fee was a little less than $5,000. And then they got all the, you know, food and drink on top of that. They were ecstatic. It was a great haul for them, and they did well, and they won us back. So I haven't ruled that out yet. I want to maintain that relationship with them. I don't want to burn that bridge. I mean, we might go back there ultimately for part five. But right now, I'm exploring alternatives in the Maryland area. I think Rockville is appealing. For one reason, this is a really stupid reason, but there's a V in the middle of Rockville. I think that might be able to incorporate nicely into a part five type logo for Rockville. But there probably are venues in Bethesda and Northwest DC as well that might work. The big challenge with all these places is that they're crazy. So either it's like a restaurant or a bar that's going to be free or some low cost, or it's a music venue, and the cheapest ones want like $8,000. There's a place in Georgetown that Red Zebra had been considering, I think, early on back for Jingle Fest 2, and they just weren't available that day. When I contacted them last year to go there, the manager kept holding me at arm's length because his wife, who's also a co-manager owner or something, was trying to book some unforgettable big-name act to come to this place. And they said, you know, we'll let you know if we're available like a month before the event, and then you can come here. And obviously, with people coming from out of town, trying to coordinate hotels and stuff, there's no way I was going to wait that long. We ended up in Bethesda at the Marriott. But anyway, I contacted him again and said, hey, you know, it's a year from now. Can I just book it in advance? And he said, oh, no, we don't book anything outside of 3 months because we got to hold out just in case somebody big comes along that wants to use our space. So we can't do that. Contact us, you know, in April and we can book you. I said, all right, well, I need to do it now. I said, well, if you want to do it now, it'll be $12,500 for the fee, and then we'll have a $2,500 door take. And so I wrote back and said, okay, well, I saw that the band you had there last weekend was free. What was the door take for them? Because it's the same weekend we'd be doing every year. What was their door take? I'm not sure I understand what that means. Is that a ticketed thing, or, you know, how does that mean? And he basically wrote back and said, I'm not going to explain our business model to you. Basically, screw off. So that's out. But anyway, so this is the process I go through every year. I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you heard some of our stories of going to whatever Ivy City and the weird gentrification neighborhood where there were like babies and people doing drug deals and peeing in the streets everywhere. It was just horrifying. So I'll be doing that, hopefully not for very long, but, you know, probably for the next few weeks or few months until we find something that works. And then ultimately, we may end up back in Vienna, but I'm hoping that for five, we can be in that Maryland area so that we'll be very close to Chatter, just like the Bethesda Marriott was. That was so convenient to get to all the quote-unquote sites that littles from out of town might want to go to. We don't have a name for this event yet, so I'll start brainstorming on that as well. It might be dependent on the location, but Implausibly Alive, Desolation of Sange, those were totally independent, just cheesy names. So it probably will be something like that. I'm excited to kind of get into that brainstorming mode and come up with something. If you have ideas, send them to mailbag@littlesongs.net. I'd be happy to chat with you. I am excited to say that Jeff Jones, who is the brilliant designer of Tony's logo, as well as the logos for Little Songs, Even Liver, and Desolation of Sange, is back on board. So the Implausibly Alive logo, I developed that, but Jeff is back now for this one, so we can get much more detailed, content-rich logo, and Jeff does an amazing job in everything he does, so I'm excited to see what he comes up with once we kind of give him some actual parameters to work with. And then in terms of fundraising, I think that this might also determine where we go in terms of venue. So usually I do the fundraising in the spring. Last year I did a little bit earlier because I was worried about venue costs and stuff. I might do the fundraiser now just so that I know that if we only raise $4,000, we got to look at something like Kilroy's and limit the attendance. Or if we're able to get closer to what we had last year, that we'll have enough money to actually go towards an event, plus still be able to cover the travel costs, the designing, and all that stuff. So for now, in terms of the fundraising, we'll talk about this more at the end of the show. But if you go to littlesongs.net/jinglefest, keep an eye on that page. That's where the fundraising will be this year. I think I found a platform independent of Kickstarter that will be able to work for a single event fundraising thing. So I'm excited to try that out. I also have signed up for something called Patreon. And so with Patreon, if you go to patreon.com, it's like patron with an E in it, patreon.com/littlesongs, you can actually become a patron of this show and the website and give like $1 a month or $3 a month, whatever you feel is appropriate. And depending on how much you give, then you can still get some swag and stuff or tickets to Jingle Fest. But the thing I like about that is instead of this big bang fundraiser where I'm just chilling, you know, for 30 days, this is just a membership, basically. It's something I've wanted to do in Little Songs for a while. Just have a way that you can basically be a patron or member of the site and, you know, pay some small fee every month. And it, you know, will add up to the same thing you do in a Kickstarter, but then I don't have to do this huge, you know, try to raise $10,000 thing. I can just maybe only have to raise $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever to make it work. Because I know some people still aren't going to want to do a membership style setup, but this way at least I can have some level of fixed income to kind of plan what's appropriate for this. And, you know, are we going to book the 930 club that can seat 1,200, or are we going to go, you know, go to Kilroy's and do 150? Anyway, so check those out. And if you have ideas on other ways we can do this or alternate swag, I know that Brad Weiss often jokes that he has a whole wardrobe now of TK Jingles gear. So if there's something else we can offer instead of a t-shirt, you know, please let me know if you have ideas on that. A lot of the custom swag, I don't find that appealing. I happen to like the shirts, but mostly because the things like polos or other stuff is really expensive. And so it doesn't make sense to have that unless I'm selling like a $50 shirt, which just seems ridiculous. So anyway, that is all for Jingle Fest talk. So let's move on to something else. So in the past, after every Jingle Fest or leading up to it, I would do custom songs that gave you a preview of what was to come or recapped the night that we had. So I'm thinking of like Tony and the Crowd at Kilroy's and some of that stuff. So I'm going to play a few of those Jingle Fest related jingles that I've done over the years. And then I want to play a new one by James in Atlanta. And this is a Hamilton jingle, and it recaps the Desolation of Swag and everything else having to do with this. It just, and he did one of these last year too that was so freaking cool, recapping Desolation of Songe to American Pie, I think. So let's listen to a few of the previous recaps and then this amazing track called Burn that recaps everything that I kind of went through and the collective experience leading up to the fourth Jingle Fest Implausibly Alive. So I can't say enough good things about this. Let's listen to a few of these tracks, and then it's going to lead up to Burn by James. Just simply wonderful.
Picture a man in Springfield at a restaurant with tangerine skin and a silly disguise. Somebody says, hey, you look quite familiar. I think my grandmother read you in style. Jerry appears and he's starting a show. KJ, she sings a few bars. Then the man says, wow, look at the time, and he's gone. To Springfield riding in your limousine because Maureen, she said you should go. You had a free light beer in your hand and you opened the show. Oh, and when you started on the radio back in 92, did you ever see it getting this far? Hanging out with 150 fans in a really wet bar. And then you almost got a big shock, didn't you? You almost died among the crowd. You almost got electrocuted, didn't you? Sheehan would have laughed so loud. You said that you were coming Friday, but the monsoon gave us all some doubt. Even though you weren't invited, you made it. You didn't blow us off like David. Whoa. Thank you. me off. Big time in me like some jack off. 30 minutes till the show and we got a Mexican standoff. Man, those weasels piss me off. Is this a bridge I wanna burn? Chris, you'd think I'd learn, but the weasels crossed me and now they deserve a turn. Yeah, I guess that bridge is burned. I still hear her saying I found this. Change my plans. I meet her eyes, I look her in the face and ask her, lady, don't you know who I am? What a way to start the show.
Played many jingles we wrote you. They serve to promote you. We put them online. We built you a shrine. It should have been fine. Do you know what IMG Digital said when they took over running the show? They said, what would Maury think if he knew you were making him dough? All of the phone calls angered his senses. The senseless, defenseless pretenses. They claimed the color orange was proprietary. Can you believe that? He read through the emails they wrote him. He searched and he scanned every line for some kind of sign. You knew the website was not a gold mine. The shirts had to burn. Burn. You made this a problem for Jerry. You made him design all new swag and made him rebrand. And protecting your brand, you have taken our app. You know what Negrelli said when the product you wouldn't allow? He said, where's my pile of cash? I won't be a millionaire now. All of the lawyers obsessed with your legacy, relentless about the forensics, and they were paranoid with every reference. How we aggrieved you. You. We're erasing TK from the narrative. Let future historians wonder what happened to Jingles and what is orange. We took it to a park and watched it all burn. Watched it all burn. The world has no right to TK. They can't put those letters together. They don't get to wear orange shirts. or advertise visiting chats now called Chatter that might have brought business. We've burned up the bat out of hell shirt. We've burned a world tour one as well. The Saunch has been desolated. We've only the memories of when this was fine. But we'll still wear the shirts.
So I'm not sure if I'm smiling or crying right now. That really moves me. The amount of detail and on such a personal level for the crapola that I put up with for the last year and a half is just incredible. And I said this on the podcast a lot. If you like these songs, and that one in particular, please go to littlesongs.net after this, after you've obviously given me lots of money and Patreon and whatever else. But please go to littlesongs.net. If you do nothing else, do this. Go to that website. Leave a comment on that song if you enjoyed that. If you enjoy what I'm doing, let James know. I mean, that really, really meant a lot to me. And I love that we have so many people. There's, I don't know what we have now, 2,000 to 3,000 songs, little songs. And this all started as just a stupid idea that I thought people would want to hear this stuff, you know, that it had to keep going. And here we are 5 years later and it's somehow still going. I never really thought that was going to happen. The things that I do for this are in part because I enjoy them and I want to have this outlet and I want to keep doing this, but also because I believe in it. I think that this stuff is really good and fun and worthwhile. And to have folks that contribute through all the awesome songs on the website and then that listen and pay enough attention to what I'm doing to be able to put something like that together is just awesome. So please, littlesongs.net, seek out Burn, leave a comment, let James know what you thought of that, because I thought it was freaking awesome. So as you know, tkjingles.com was retired on July 1st, 2018, and now we're officially littlesongs.net. All that other stuff has gone away. And one of the items that died was the schwitzsongs.club website. So I'm excited to announce that all the content from there, there's like 46 songs about the Schwitz, which I'm sure like three people think are good, but there's a lot of content. And it had been kind of lost, just lost for the last 6 months or so as I let that domain expire. I have now migrated that to littlesongs.net. So if you go to the main page in the dropdown, you can look at parody songs. You can look at original songs. Now there's a third category called Schwitz songs. And if you choose that, you can look at all the wonderful Schwitz songs that are available there. I'm also going to be adding a new section of bonus content. And that's going to be all the stuff that I used to feature in like the third or fourth segment of the podcast. A lot of the demos, outtakes, discarded tracks, a lot of the podcast intro songs, the podcast outro songs. I mean, there's probably 200 or 300 songs that are not released on Little Songs, just that I've done personally to keep that whole, whatever it was, 150 episodes of the podcast going. So I'm going to slowly upload those to littlesongs.net. And for those of you that support Little Songs on the Patreon site, I will that'll be available to you. And while, you know, I admit this is hardly some high-level special-end content, that is one of the things that I'm hoping to establish with that whole patron system or whatever, is that folks that really care about that stuff, I assume, are the folks that are supporting this. So if you really want to hear all that cool bonus stuff, just sign up there for that, you know, dollar a month thing, and that goes towards keeping this podcast going, keeping the events going, all goes to the bottom line there. I do a lot of random commissioning of things, whether it be artwork for the shows, custom songs, hiring Soul from Chile to sing songs about Robert Berg. There's things that I do that cost money. And so that little bit that you add to that allows me to do that without just flushing away my children's college fund. So please check that stuff out as it rolls out here and let me know what you think. I mean, I assume based on feedback I've gotten that a lot of that lost content, a lot of that stuff, people really want to listen to and want to rediscover. And if there's other things that I've done or there's something in particular that you really want to hear, like the shadow or whatever else it was, let me know. I'll talk to Tom Burf, see if we can find a way to fit it into his show. You know, we'll continue to go from there. This is an ongoing dialogue, and you are encouraged to join the conversation. I do have one short story to share with you about my father-in-law just from the past few weeks. I have two daughters, and if you listen to the podcast, you may know Anna was born back when I was recording that or just before. And so often as when she was an infant, she would be in my arms or next to me when I was recording those early episodes. So she was my first live audience member and critic. But now she's 4 years old, almost five, and her and her older sister, they're 4 and 6. And so they spend usually one day a week over at my in-law's house. And so one day, my father-in-law pulled me aside very seriously, and he said, "You need to install a bathroom in your basement." And I said, what are you talking about? He said, "The girls have let me know that oftentimes they're down there watching a show, and they have to walk upstairs to use the bathroom. And they asked me, when they visit us, how come there's a bathroom in the basement where they can just go and use it? And at your house, where they live, they have to walk up the stairs to use the bathroom. It would only cost you $3,000 or $4,000. Why don't you just install a bathroom in the basement?" And I said, "Are you paying for it? I mean, what in the world are you talking about? This is not a priority for me. I have other things to deal with. I mean, there's plenty of things going wrong in my house. It was built in the early '60s that probably need to be fixed before I go installing a bathroom in my basically where I store the paper towels right now. Like I'm gonna lose my storage area and I'm gonna put in a bathroom for some reason." And I said, "Yeah, it's so easy, it's so convenient, and you know how could you think that you know it's okay to make your girls walk up the stairs to use the bathroom?" I said, "All right, well, I when I was younger, I did not have a bathroom in the basement, and somehow I lived. I think they'll get through it. I think we'll make it work." And so here we are now, a few weeks later, and it has come up 3 or 4 times. And so now it's a joke between Michelle and I. If one of us has to use the bathroom, like, "Oh my God, I don't think I'm going to be able to use the stairs. I just got to go here on the floor. There's just no way I'll be able to make it upstairs." But these are the fun things that we talk about and cause an unnecessary, or what's maybe not unnecessary, just a surprising level of angst and concern for something that seems fairly unimportant and trivial, but these are the things we talk about. So if you're new to the podcast, I hope that you enjoyed the Grelly. If you're a longtime listener, I hope that this met your expectations of what this was going to be. I really enjoyed doing this. And I remember so many of those podcast episodes for those 3 years when I would sit down with no idea what I was going to do that night, or just in dread of like, "Oh, I got to do this again for, who am I doing this for other than myself?" It's touching and humbling and rewarding to me that so many of you enjoy this and continue to support these things and this in particular, and that it's led to so many other silly offshoots and helped to support the events and everything else. So thank you for listening. I encourage and welcome your feedback, mailbag@littlesongs.net. I would love to have a mailbag segment at the end again where we can talk about stuff. At some point, I will put this up on iTunes and elsewhere, and I would like your reviews to get your feedback that way as well. But ultimately, that email dialogue or hitting me up on Twitter @JerryNegrelli, or following the Little Songs Facebook page or becoming a patron on the website, those things obviously all help as well. But ultimately, I want to know what you think. I hope you enjoy this. I hope that you subscribe and continue to listen to episodes going forward. So thank you for listening. I'll be back here in about a week. We'll be right back. One more thing before we go. This intro, outro song, the various bumpers are all inspired by Noel Gallagher from Oasis, one of my favorite bands because of when I grew up and the music I like. He wrote a song called It's Good to Be Free, which is the inspiration for the name Little Songs. If you don't recall, there was a parody track I did towards the end of the podcast that had these little songs that make me so happy, which was a parody of It's Good to Be Free, where Noel sings these little things that make me so happy. So the song that you've heard there is taking those chords and rearranging them in a different way to create new music, which is coincidentally how Noel Gallagher writes songs. He gets drunk, sits down, listens to a favorite song at the time, learns the chords, and as he described it, nicks them and rearranges them to create all those wonderful Oasis songs. So here, just incidentally as we leave the show, is me parodying that song, which led to Little Songs and then all the other music you've heard.
These little songs that make me so happy, they're short and dumb and sometimes funny. Yeah, these little songs that make me so happy, but it's good that they're free.